You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Psalm 27, we found it. You know, we started teaching on confessing the Word, the importance of confessing who God is, the importance of confessing who you are. And this is, I think, last Wednesday night, and then we went into Sunday morning also. You know, it's important to know what to say. It's also important to know what not to say, especially in troubling times, especially perilous times, times of economic crisis and gas prices going crazy. And, you know, I got all excited about paying $2.59 a gallon at a place in Plano today. It's amazing that we'd be excited about paying $2.59, like we hit the jackpot or something, you know, because gas has been so high, you know. But really, all that's irrelevant. All that matters is what God says. All that matters is what God said He would do. And all that matters is whether I believe it or not. So I don't need to change what I say about God. I don't need to change what I say about myself, no matter what's going on in the world. Amen? Confession is so important. And you see here in the Psalms, just case in point, over and over and over, Psalm 27, David speaking. David, he's a warrior. You're talking about a warrior. He was a warrior, man. He fought battles. He knew what pain was. He knew what opposition was. He knew facing an army was about, facing possible defeat in the natural, and yet he didn't entertain those kind of thoughts. Many times he was outnumbered, many times he was outpowered. When he faced Goliath, come on, they wasn't big enough to whoop Goliath, as we say in East Texas. But God was big enough. Amen. They wasn't large enough. David was just a teenager, according to the scripture. He was just a young man. And yet, he took a stone and defeated Goliath because he did it in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You may not be big enough to face the crisis you're facing in the natural, but thank God we're not in the natural. We're supernatural. We're like amphibious creatures. Think about it. We're in the world, but we're also spirit beings. Oh, yeah. Now, don't run out here and just say, Pastor, call me a frog. No. I'm just trying to relate here with an allegory, just an analogy here. You and I are in this world. We are human beings in that sense. But if we're born again, if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're spiritual creatures. We can believe God. We can trust God. We can pray. We can confess the Word. We've got access to more resources than the world does. More help and strength and power than the world does. And the more we learn to live from the inside out, the better our life will be, and the less affected we are by things that go on in the world. Whether it's a financial crisis or whether it's just anger, whether it's just sin or whatever the case may be. We shouldn't be affected from the outside in. We should affect the outside from the inside. We should live from the inside out. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. So here's David. He's a warrior. He understands the importance of believing God and trusting God. And you see a pattern in David's writings. I want you to think about this. We're going to just chew on this a while, okay? To meditate is to chew on it and just roll it around the inside of here. He said in Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now see, he's making a statement. In fact, I taught one time, statement of fact, statement of faith. It's even more powerful than that. It's more than just a statement of fact that the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's the truth of the matter. That's not just a fact. That's the truth. But see, that truth, you and I are supposed to stand on truth and do something with truth. We have a part to play. We are to participate in this thing. You know why miracles don't happen in most cases? Because we don't believe for them, we don't pray for them, we don't stand on God's word concerning them. You know why people don't get saved? Because they don't call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But people don't get saved because God doesn't have enough power. He's got plenty of power. Or because God didn't pay the price. He paid the price. Jesus already came, He already died, He already rose again. But they didn't do their part in calling on Him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You did that, I did that. And so in participating in this deal that God has made available, then the miracle came to pass, the miracle of salvation and deliverance. We took something that was known, a truth, a fact, Jesus came and died for all of us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, we did something with the information. Just having the fact is just the start, just the first step. Even David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He goes the second step and makes it personal and says, whom shall I fear? So he makes a statement of faith based on the statement of fact. And really all of us are saying things constantly all the time about our future, about our emotional state, about how we are today, and we're basing it on something we heard. Now what God is trying to get us to do, and this is why we have the Bible, is that he's trying to get us to base our statements of faith, what we say about ourselves and the world that we live in, base it on what he says instead of what the world says. Well, I heard on the news today, I heard this, or I heard that, or I heard, well, God says this, God says that. And since God says this, I'm going to say this. God said he was my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's what I'm going to say. I shall not want. That's what David said. He made the statement. How many of you would agree that the Lord is your shepherd? Amen. Now, we need to be like David and go the next step and make a statement of faith on that, on the basis of that fact. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I think I'll prophesy a little bit here then, since that's the case. I think I'll start believing in that and make a statement about me and my future. I shall not want. Amen. Hello? So the Bible has a purpose. It's not just to fill space in your life, take up time, you know, keep you busy reading. The Bible is here so you can base your life on it, so you can make statements of faith concerning it. When you read something, you need to start making a statement of faith concerning what you read, if you believe it. Now you're off the hook if you don't believe it. But if you really believe what God is saying here, then by all means, you need to personalize it. And this is something you see in the Scripture over and over and over. David did this all through the Psalms. He'd make a statement of faith, a statement about God, or something God said. And then he would base his future, his destiny on that statement. He would personalize that and begin to prophesy. Instead of saying, well, man, with the mortgage crisis, I don't know how we're ever going to make it. Well, wait a minute, you made a leap here now, because you went from saying there's a mortgage crisis to now you're making it determine your destiny and you're personalizing it and saying it's going to determine your outcome, and now you're saying not just there's a mortgage crisis, but you don't know how you're going to make it. That went over real big. What we should be saying is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you with me? It's almost redundant. I know I've gone over this in the last couple of weeks and hitting it different ways. But it's a pattern you see over and over. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who is your light and who is your salvation? The Lord. Who is your shepherd? Who is your provider? The Lord. Who supplies your needs according to his riches and glory? The Lord does. Okay. So we ought to make the statement, we're going to be fine. The Lord is my healer. Hear a bad report, get a report from the doctor, maybe it's cancer or this or that. And we're not denying those things are real. Of course they're real. Doctors doing the best job they can. They do detect things. They see things and find things. But you know, I found something too. I found out that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Yes. And so we understand that. We see that statement that the sonogram makes, or the, you know, the MRI makes, or the X-ray makes, or whatever the case may be. We see that. But you know what? We see this too. Amen. We're going to have to personalize something here. We can't personalize both of them. We can't be healed and sick. We can't live and die. So we choose to make a statement based on what God says. Oh, I see that over there, but I got to decide which one's going to determine my destiny here. Because whatever I agree with here, whatever I go with here, is going to be my participation, my will. Oh, I believe I'll just be healed. Now, I'm not saying just say anything, just whatever you want in life, just say it. No, you got to find a scripture first. You got to find a promise first. You have to know God said it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, what Jeremiah said. Well, I imagine so, because once he found them, he found out how good they were. He found out how great his future could be. He found out he wasn't in a trap, in a box. He wasn't a victim, but he could be a victor. He began to realize he could make it. All thy words were found, I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. David said they're like the honeycomb, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. He said it because he knew the power of it. And especially as a warrior, someone who went into battles quite often. In fact, he even talks about that here in this context. He understood that opposition was not from God, that the victory was from God, not the opposition. I mean, you don't see David thanking God for the enemy. or thanking God for defeat. In fact, it's almost like David thought, now, weird thought here, think about it. He thought God was good and devil's bad. I don't know where he got that from. That's what he thought. And he thought there were people that were bad and people that were good, and people that were on God's side and people that were against God. He didn't think everything was God. That went over real big. Because he would start thanking God and giving God credit for strength and victory and health and deliverance. And he would go to God when there was a problem to get out of the problem. In this case it's pretty plain. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, now, obviously he knew there were people that opposed him, and he decided not to be afraid of them because God was going to be his strength. God wasn't going to be his strength and his weakness. God wasn't going to be his ally and his enemy. Do you understand the division here? The dichotomy, the dualism. You know, we're not Eastern mind science cults. We're not the Eastern religion's thinking philosophy has crept into the church somewhat. And it's Buddhism that teaches that everything is good, good, bad, or indifferent. It's all good. It's all God. You know, but it's not all good. In fact, there's some things that are bad and some things that are good. In fact, God told you to live a certain way and not live another way. Hello. Why is that? Because some things are right and some things are wrong. And some things are good and some things are bad. Some things are righteous and some things are evil. And in this case, it was very plain. He says, when the wicked come against me. Everybody say wicked. I didn't hear you. When the wicked?
Wicked.
Okay, I won't cough next time when you respond. When the wicked come against me. He didn't say when God comes against me. He understood God wasn't doing that and God wasn't in that. He understood it to be in the wicked. He also understood that if he's going to make it, he's going to have to call on God. His strength came from God, not the wicked and the strength. Wicked, you know, I love that. Wicked is really an old English word. It comes from wick, like a wick of a candle. It's twisted. You know, wicked doctrine is a twisted doctrine. You know, that's wicked. Of course, today, wicked's good. I mean, if you're a kid and you say, hey, wicked, you know, that means good. Yeah. Got to get down the lingo, you know. They do have one thing straight. When they mess up, they'll say, my bad. That's good. Because it is their bad. My bad. Well, get good now. It's okay. So it says here, when the wicked come against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, not God doing it. No, he didn't attribute that to God at all. He understood there was a difference between what God does and what the world or the devil does. Nobody made that distinction any greater than Jesus. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. And he proved it in his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, stopped storms, gave to the poor. You notice he never killed anybody, never made anybody sick, never started any storms, never took anybody's money away. I mean, he did just the opposite. And I always say this, never even gave anybody a headache except the Pharisees. But that was their problem. You know, if they got that headache. And so there was a clear distinction in Jesus teaching his life, the Son of God, our Savior, in between what was evil and what was good. You and I need to understand we live in a world that's broken and fallen. There's corruption and evil and wickedness in this world. There's opposition. There is a devil that hates you and hates us and wants to destroy us. And there's a constant battle going on. And you and I have to stand firm and fight and believe God and stand on the Word and pray and win. You won't ever reach a point in this life, here on this earth, where you'll never have opposition. You'll never have a temptation to go under. You'll overcome sin, and all of a sudden, nothing ever will ever tempt you. You'll never, ever get mad again. You know, wake up, because you've fallen asleep out here. You're in a dream world, if you believe that. This world's fallen and broken, and we're on enemy territory, as in one sense, and we are advancing and expanding the kingdom as Christians, as believers, and taking over ground, not just in cities and in counties and countries, but also in our own life. We're taking over ground the devil's trying to take. He's trying to get a stronghold in our life with bitterness and sin and sometimes sickness and sometimes poverty and depression. And if we'll let all these outside forces out here control our destiny, and it starts by us confessing them and believing them and agreeing with them, then we'll just be useless for the kingdom. And I think, you know, we need to be lights for the gospel. We need to be ambassadors for Christ. The world needs a magazine that, and a television station and a radio station that broadcast and tells the good news. Hey, that's us. Because CNN's not going to do it. Hello, CBS, ABC. They're not going to do that. See, they're not reporting the gospel. That's what you and I do. So why just continue to promote what they're saying? And I mean, there may be something good from time to time on there, but most of it is just death, destruction, and bad news. It travels so fast. We as Christians need to stand up and speak up for our God and His promises and His Word, and don't let your family be a statistic. You're not a statistic. You're a Christian. Your children do not have to go down the drug road, the jail road. They do not have to. You say, well, that's just the way it is. No, it's not the way it is. If you raise your children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord, the Bible says they'll not depart when they grow up. Hallelujah. But see, you got to fight that. You got to fight. You got to stand on the Word. You got to say some things. And David got a hold of this. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Well, they came, but they didn't make it. I love Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against me will prosper, but every tongue rises up against me in judgment, I will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Now, I can see y'all didn't get that, so I'm going to say it again. It says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54, 17. But every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. I will condemn. I will say something. In other words, if some judgment comes, be it the devil, be it my body, be it circumstances, and says I'm not going to make it, some wicked rises up against me, I'm not going to do or have or be what God says I can do or have or be, then I personally will stand up and I will condemn that. How? With my mouth. I will say something. I will pray something. I will believe something. I will say like David, I will not fear this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, we see that when we read that, but until we make it personal, we hadn't got it yet. You have got to personalize that. You've got to say that for you and your household. This is the way it's going to be. I may feel the fear. I may be shaking my lips, may be quivering when I say it. But I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. Michael Williams, he's with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. And I will not die in this valley. I will go through this valley. I'll come out the other side. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Personalize that thing. Amen. Enemies come, but no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. I will say something. I will pray something. I will stand against it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. That is a powerful verse. I mean, it really is. It's kind of what Jesus said, kind of like what he said in Luke 10:19. You remember when the 70 returned with joy and they said, even the demons are subject to us through your name. They came with great joy and reported back to Jesus what they'd done. And he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Does that mean you're never going to be hurt? Well, no, it means that if you'll believe and use the name of Jesus, you can get over troubles and get over trials. You're going to get sucker punched from time to time. Hello, you understand sucker punch, don't you? You know, I was preaching in Hawaii a couple weeks ago, and I had to explain a few things. And when I go to Australia, I have to take a Texas dictionary. But anyway, you can get sucker punched from time to time, but you can rise back up again. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Amen. So don't give up. You're not out down for the count. Just get back up. What he means there is if you'll use the name, that's what he said. They came back and they said, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. So we have power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall by any means hurt us if we use the name, if we're praying and believing and standing on the word. Now, I'm not so naive to think that all of us are standing on the word and praying and believing and using the name 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I know I've missed it from time to time. I remember one time several years ago I missed it. Okay. How about you? But if you'll get back in faith and start standing on the name, nothing shall hurt you. That's not condemnation if something's going wrong. Listen, we live in a broken, fallen world. I understand that. But we got to get a hold of ourselves. We may have cried, we may have blubbered, but the crying time's over. We got to rise up and do something about it now. And what we do is pray and believe God. Amen? We base what we say on what God says. We take God's promise, God's word, and then we make a personal statement about our life concerning that matter, concerning what God says, or on the basis of what God says. Third verse says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. You say, what? What did he just say? He will be confident in this, that the Lord is his light and the Lord is his strength. Whom shall he fear? Though a host come against me, I'll not fear. It doesn't matter. Because nothing's going to change the fact that God's on my side. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I don't think he was talking about one person that's in the world. I think he's talking about anybody and everybody in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Yes. Ooh, hallelujah. So, you know, even there, John, 1 John 4:4, John's talking faith there. In fact, he starts talking about the spirit of Antichrist is in the world, and he said it's even in the world now. Try the spirits where they be of God. Every spirit that does not confess Christ, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, is not of God. And he says, goes on and says, you have overcome them. You have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he's in the world.
Amen.
Woo! Man, I got a world overcomer inside me. He's greater than the world. And I myself am a world overcomer. Because in that same book, the 5th chapter, the 4th verse says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
You're a world overcomer. Don't let the world overcome you. Don't be overcome by the world. Start making your statements of faith based on what God says. I hope you don't get your destiny from the headlines of the newspaper. Hope you don't get your mission from the leading story on the news channel, you know. Your mission and your destiny is what God says it is, if you will believe it. Amen. If you'll take his word for it. Turn with me to Psalm 46. We're going to go through a few verses here. Hope y'all can hear around this throat lozenge. I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is, listen, oh man, this is so good. I just love God's word. You get away from it, you start going down. It's the law of attrition, you know. You start going down, down, down. You get in the word, it'll pick you right back up again. And you can always come back. That's the good news. You can always come back. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. If you repent, God will always take you back. I don't know why he loves you. I don't get it, but he really does. I don't know why he loves me, but he does. And he has given me not one or two chances, he gives me 1,000 chances. You know, and if I'm willing to get right, he'll take me back. Are you with me? And work on this thing again. You know, it's almost like, come on over here, boy, let's start over. Let's get this thing going again. You know, he does not give up on us. But we're going to have to do right here. We're going to have to do what he says and start talking God talk, as it were. I get tickled. People say, oh, you guys, I mean, who do y'all think you are talking like God? Well, I'm thinking, who do you think you are talking like the devil? I'm not God. We're not God. And no one said that. But we do want to pattern our lives after him. I hope you're trying to be more God-like. Aren't you trying to be more like him?
Yeah.
We ought to forgive as he forgave. As Christ forgave, so we give. We forgive. He is our pattern. And so we know we're not God. We're not saying that. But we are talking like he would want us to talk here. There's not enough God talk. There's too much devil talk going on. Too much doubt and unbelief talk, fear talk, you know, crisis talk, going under talk, not going to make it talk. We need to talk the word, talk the promises, talk God's word. Amen. Yeah. Notice what the psalmist says here, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. God is our refuge and strength. Who is?
God.
Now, what could change that? What circumstance would negate that? What happening in your life would all of a sudden make that not true? Is there anything that would change that in my life? Is there any incident, no matter the magnitude, any problem, no matter the size, any mountain, any chasm, any river I got to cross? Is there anything that would change this fact that God is my refuge and strength? Nothing. Nothing really changes that. Some things just never change. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I love that. That means something to the psalmist here. It means something for God to be my strength. That's not a passive thing. That's not a powerless thing, an innocuous thing, as they say. It means no power, just powerless. Oh, he's up there somewhere. Who knows what the Lord will do? Well, God will always do what he says he will do. I'm not really confused about him. It's you and me that I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we're the unpredictable ones. He's very predictable. He will always do what he says. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, if I trust him, he'll always come through. He said he would. Amen? Well, what's going on? Why it's not working for me? Well, because you just said it wasn't working. Well, I can't even seem to make it work. Well, you keep saying that. You never will make it work. Well, it never seems to work in my life, and he never will if you keep talking like that. Well, I don't get it. Well, that's obvious. Okay. I'm just trying to help you, okay? Quit that. Quit that. It never works for me. Come on, quit that. God does not change. You know, you missed it. Join the club. We've all missed it. You say, well, that sounds kind of hard, preacher. Well, I'm not trying to make you feel good. I want to help you. It might make somebody feel good, let them know they're okay when they're walking off the cliff and pat them on the back while they're going down. And like that guy said, about halfway down that fall, somebody was up climbing up the cliff, saw this guy fall off, says, how's it going? He said, so far, so good. But at some point, you're going to have to shake people and say, whoa, stop shooting yourself in the foot. Stop killing yourself. As long as you go down this road of not believing, not trusting, and saying things like, God never comes through for me, and it's never going to work for me, and I can't seem to get this work. You've got to stop that. See, God never misses it. Never, never, never. And that only leaves one other person. Okay. I can live with that. You understand when I'm standing up here, I could preach weeks on times I've missed it. But I couldn't preach you one sermon on when God missed it. He never missed it. I'm liable to miss it again, but he's never going to miss it. And if something goes wrong, I need to go back to the drawing board because God didn't miss it. That's not condemnation. That's just trying to help you. I mean, if you jump off the roof, you hit the ground, that's called gravity. God forbid I wouldn't tell you that if you don't stop that, you're going to break your legs. You can't violate that. There's some laws here that are in effect, spiritual laws of trusting God and believing God and so on. And if you continue to say God doesn't come through for me and I can't seem to get this to working and I pray nothing happens, you know what? It's going to keep going like that until you stop that insanity and start saying, you know what? God's word is true. I do believe it. I do trust it. I'm putting my faith in him. He does come through for me. And just stay at it and stay at it and stay at it. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, if you never say it, you never will believe it. You say, you want me to say it when I don't believe it? Well, first of all, it is God's word. We know that. And we have enough sense to know God's word is true, even if we're having trouble believing it. If I will start saying it because I know the word is true, God's word is true, maybe I'm having trouble believing it in my heart, but still I know it's there and God can't lie. If I will start saying it, you know what? I'm not necessarily confessing my faith, but I'm confessing unto faith. If I keep saying it, I will begin to believe it. I won't begin to believe a lie. I'll begin to believe the truth. See, that's the power of saying something over and over. It's a wonderful thing. Or it can be a very terrible thing. Somebody can lie to you, and you start saying it, you'll start believing it, and you'll start believing the lie. Maybe your parents said something to you. Maybe your grandparents said something. I don't know. You know, maybe your friend said something to you that kind of marked you when you were young and told you were nobody or you were worthless or said some other thing. It always stuck with you, and you always had that in your brain, and you said that over and over. Well, it was a lie, but you bought it. And you kept saying it. At some point, you got to break that thing. So I'm going to quit saying I am who God says I am. God says this. I am who God says I am. And so you'll start reaping the benefit of the promise of God instead of the lie you might have heard. And I hope you had good parents. I mean, thank God for good parents. But I mean, sometimes, you know, we pick up things and we say them over and over, and then we start believing them. There's still people who don't believe we ever went to the moon. All kinds of things. I talked to a guy one time. I worked with a guy one time. That he believed airplanes, when they got in a holding pattern over the airport, that they could just float. They just stayed in one spot. He said, I've seen them. I've watched them just. I couldn't convince him any other way. He'd said that. He'd tell everybody that. He believed that. Didn't make it so. That's what he believed. Kept him from getting on a plane. So what we're saying is, how many of you know the Bible's true? Well, here's a new concept. Why don't we start saying it like we believed it was true? I mean, start confessing over our families, businesses. Wow. You know, after a point, you'll start really believing it. Oh, wow. That's dangerous. All of a sudden, God will start moving. You sure you want that? Because that's what's going to happen. God's going to start doing miracles and healings. Healings are going to start happening. Miracles start happening. God never stopped doing miracles. We just stopped believing. He never stopped healing. We stopped believing. You say, well, God hadn't moved my life in a while. You know what? Guess who moved? God didn't move. He's still there. Still waiting on you. You can come back anytime. You can believe him anytime. You can trust him anytime. You can start making statements of faith based on the facts. If God is your strength, you see that he is. It says here, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, I'm going to make a statement of faith. I am not going to fear because God is my strength. And then he goes to this whole list of things. He says, even though the earth is removed and the mountains are carried away in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling, then he says, Selah. That's just a Hebrew word meaning stop. Think about that. Pause. It's a pause. Like I'd make a statement and just stop. Not say anything for a while. Make you think on it. See? Selah. Stop thinking about what? How bad is your situation? What's going on in your life? Well, even if the mountains are moved, carried away in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and troubled, how bad your deal? Hello? He's saying it doesn't matter what happens. I will not fear. Why? Because God is my refuge and my strength, very present help in trouble. Fourth verse says, there is a river. Hallelujah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. King James Version says, and that right early. I just like the way that comes out. He will help her and that right early. Amen? And then he goes on and talks about several. That's a good psalm. Read the whole psalm. It'll bless you. I don't have time to go into all of it. Turn to Psalm 91. Y'all about to get this? I want to stir you. I don't know if you've heard what's going on in the world today. Well, maybe you've heard all the bad news, but here's the good news. We go to church to hear the good news. We go to church to hear how to make it. We go to church to hear about God and His goodness, His mercy, His grace. We go to here to get empowered with the good news of Jesus Christ so we can change our world. Hallelujah. And that's what we're about. That's what the church is about. To find out there is hope. You are not hopeless and you are not helpless. You are not without a cure. You are not without an answer. We have an answer. We have hope. We have a cure. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. The Lord is our help. Hallelujah. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Wow. I mean, I don't think we get that. We read that so passively sometimes. And there's a lot of things you can trust in, but, you know, you need to trust in God. You know, thank God for a good job. Thank God for the United States of America. Thank God for this country. But my trust and your trust should be in God. Amen. Thank God for a good job. Believe God got you that job. But you know what? That job played out, God will get you another one because He's the one that got it for you to start with. If you put your faith and trust in Him, then it doesn't matter what happens on that job. Because our faith's not in the job, our faith's in God. Hello? See, in Him I'll trust. I'm going to trust in Him. He's going to do what He said. He's going to take care of me. In fact, I'm under His shadow. I'm under His wings. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Surely this God will deliver you. Everybody say, surely. Surely. I mean, think about this, the confidence in that statement, the absoluteness of that statement. He makes all this, talks about God, and he talks about trusting God, and since that's the case, God is my refuge, my strength, and I trust Him, surely He will deliver me. He will not leave me in a lurch. He won't leave me, you know, unhelped, without hope. I'm going to say that the Lord is my refuge. I'm going to say the Lord is my strength. I'm going to say surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I encourage you to read the rest of that psalm. That's another, you don't have time to get into all that. But you know, I'm just giving you a sampling of the way the people that God inspired to write the Bible, the way they talked about God. And there's a reason and a purpose for this. Man, I have got something that will always combat, always do away with, always defeat the bad news, the bad report. No matter what I hear in this life, I've got something that overrules it. If I will trust it, if I'll start making personal statements about it. Hebrews 13 will close out. Is this helping you? Okay, as soon as y'all get it, I'll quit, so we might be here all night. Y'all getting it? Yeah, everybody, yeah, that's a cheap way to get up. Amen. Talk like that, everybody go, oh, I got it, preacher. Hebrews 13. Hebrews. That's the one about the book that talks about, yeah, men make coffee. Hebrews. Okay. Hebrews 13. Notice what it says here. Fifth verse. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now, he's not saying that if you're poor, stay there. Stay that way, because all through the Bible it talks about coming out of poverty. But you know, your peace, you can have peace wherever you are. Even if you're in a trial, you can still have peace. Even if you're way behind on bills, you can still have peace. Even if your body's racked with pain and a disease that the doctor says you have, you can still have peace even while you're in that battle, because you know you can get healed. Amen? You know you can come out of it. But he says, be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, this is what God said now. Y'all see that? He Himself has said. He Himself has said. Well, obviously it's important to say some things in your life. God Himself says things. I guess if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. Amen. If God's about saying things and confessing things, surely we ought to say things. In fact, that's very plain in these verses. It says, He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say. Why did He say that? Why did God say He'd never leave us nor forsake us? Well, you don't have to, you know, it's not a mystery. And you don't have to figure it out. He tells you why He said it, so you could boldly say, woo, hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I heard this message tonight. I'll never be the same. Woo, preach it, brother. God said what He said, so you could boldly say something. Oh, yes, I got it. Why do we have this? Why did God say all this? So we can say something. Ah, okay. That's a little more convincing. I like that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, see, David's making a statement now. God said something, now I'm going to say something. Are you with me? The Lord is my light, my strength. I will not fear. God said that so I could say something. The Lord said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So you could boldly say. I like that. He didn't just say. He said boldly say. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Why, how could you say that? Why would you say that? Because God said something. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's why we need to know what God says. It's really a couple. Most of the reasons we go through, the pain we go through, and the most fear and obstacles, doubt and unbelief, and a couple reasons. Number one reason is because we ignorance, don't know. Didn't say we're stupid, I just said we don't know. And secondly, we don't believe. Because I think some of us do know, but we're not believing. Now, it could be you never heard and didn't know, and that'll stop you. Could be you heard, but you're not doing anything about it. You're just talking like everybody else is talking, you know, the gas pumps. talking all doubt and belief, gas pump. God said something so you could say something. Everything God said, He said so you could say something. Question is, what are you saying? I guess that's the point. What are you saying? We ought to be saying what God is saying. Amen? Personalizing what God said. We're going to make it. Why? Because He supplies our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're going to make it. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. We're going to make it. Why? Because the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. We're going to make it. Why? Because Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy that fade my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. God said that. And He told us to continually say that He takes pleasure in it. Amen. So we got a lot to say. Hey, I got something to say. How about you? You say, well, I don't know what to say about all that. Well, I do. You may be going through something. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, go find out. Go in the Bible and find out what to say. When you read it, when you read this and you find the promise, then if you had to stand up in your chair, do it. Stand up in your chair and say it. But by all means, let's connect. Let's do our part. If we do our part, God will always, always, always do His part. Hallelujah.